Let's talk, let's move off of squirrels, and let's talk about the Bonner Community Food Bank. Debbie, what's it like? We're heading into two very busy holidays, which everybody, if they do think of the food bank, it's at these 2 days, but there are needs throughout the year. But what is it like right now heading, well, first of all, location, location, location.
Yes, we're located at 1707 Culver's Drive off of North Boyer. Right there behind the airport next to UPS.
And where you can get hung up on the train.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That happened to Debbie this morning. I got a frantic text from her at about 7:55 saying, I'm at the railroad tracks on Boyer and I need help. But you came through perfectly. What's it like at the food bank right now? Are you gearing up?
Oh, yes. Lots of hustle and bustle happening. Yesterday, we had the Sandpoint High School girls basketball team in. We also had Cedar Hills Church and the Pondere Rotary Club, and we packed 600 bags with all the fixings for Thanksgiving.
Wait, okay, let's talk about the bags.
Yeah.
Where did the food come from, and what went in the bags?
Sure. So our first kickoff food drive from the Panada volunteers.
Ta-da!
So when in the fall, when food drives start happening, we start pulling Thanksgiving items out, like stuffing, Jello, green beans, things like that.
So you're hoarding. You have a little separate place at the food bank where you put jellied cranberries,
exactly,
and things like that. Okay, how are you at now? I mean,
we need turkeys, so. Turkeys there's a shortage this year, and we were unable to make a large order from any of our local grocery stores, just due to, because they're having a hard time getting them as well. So typically we'll ask for monetary donations during this time because we have a little more purchase power there. But this year we actually need the physical turkey brought in. We still need about 300 more turkeys.
Wow. Well, I wonder if anybody out there has a source for turkeys. Oh, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. We had about 15 come in yesterday, so that was exciting.
Okay. Wonderful.
And they come just one at a time usually?
People bring in
a turkey or two. What else is on the needs list?
The canned pumpkin, which is...
Uh-huh. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, canned
okay.
pumpkin and then canned cranberries.
Okay.
Those are the three items that were short, so...
Okay. Pumpkin, cranberry, and turkeys.
Yes.
It is nice to have a whole turkey on Thanksgiving.
It is.
Yeah.
We do have some other options right now, too. We have whole chickens, which we were able to get a hold of.
Okay.
And then hams.
People do ham on Thanksgiving.
They do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people do.
And right. Yeah.
Some of our older clients were actually happy to hear about a whole chicken because their ovens aren't big enough to hold a turkey, or it's just one of them at home.
Mm-hmm. And so, my sister does Cornish game hens. The little Cornish. So that's even smaller than a chicken. But let's go back to money. If somebody would like to write a check or donate, how does one go about doing that?
Oh, sure. So you could write a check, send it in the mail to 1707 Culver's Drive in Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864. I know we have some listeners out of state.
Okay, and that's right. That's right, and that gives you flexibility, doesn't it?
It does. Yes. So the food that we packed yesterday was through food drives, groups helping us, but also we made some purchases at stores as well. So we were getting cases of food from all of our local grocery stores, and actually we went down to Coeur d'Alene as well to help us.
And what? Are you looking for a variety of sizes of turkeys, you know, let's say 12 to 13 pounds, but I know that they go up to 20, 22 pounds, massive.
Mm-hmm.
So are you looking like low mid-range or?
Yeah, low mid-range, 10 to 12 pounds
okay.
is a perfect size. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you do intend to donate, I don't know if you'd agree with me or not, usually you get them and they're frozen. To donate them like the Tuesday or Wednesday before Thanksgiving might not be the...
So that is a very good point. We've learned in the past where we would have these two great big days the week of Thanksgiving, and which is lovely because we have a lot of different people helping us, about 100 volunteers within the 2 days. And families after Thanksgiving came back and said, oh, we were so grateful for the turkey. Thank you. However,
it's still thawing.
Yeah, exactly. So it dawned on us like, well, why aren't we doing this the week before? So we are going to distribute all next week and then the week of Thanksgiving as well for emergency families or last minute.
Okay. And you get over the hump of Thanksgiving and then ta-da comes Christmas. And that's another speed bump in terms of needing food.
It is. Yes. We don't do necessarily a Christmas basket or any food like that. The Lions Club usually will help with that portion of it. So, but we do have a lot of families signing up and needing help. So,
and that's where possibly hams come in and things like that. Mm-hmm. What other are the items? Okay, we're focused on Thanksgiving, but there are also other needs at the food bank. What are some of the items? You brought in a list of everyday food bank needs, non-food items, and holiday food bank needs. So can you talk a little bit about other items?
Sure. We decided a lot of people don't realize with the non-food items that with SNAP benefits, you're unable to purchase toilet paper or hygiene.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So we're like, well, let's add it to our list. And if people choose to help us with that, then we can give that out to folks that need toothbrushes, toothpaste, deodorant.
Yeah.
Those items. That...
It kind of brings up an interesting question. So the SNAP benefits are, they apply only to food. And if you're in, it's for folks earning less than a certain dollar amount, right?
Right. Formerly known as food stamps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's usable in any of the other grocery stores around town, not at the food bank.
Yeah.
But then, so you have, but the other things that you might find in one of the grocery stores that aren't food are here on your everyday, on your non-food items list.
Right.
You want to go down the list?
You bet. Mm-hmm. So we've got toilet paper, feminine hygiene products.
That's a biggie.
It really is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Toothpaste and toothbrushes, deodorant, soap, shampoo and conditioner.
Another biggie coming up.
Diapers. And baby wipes. So we do offer those when we have them for families with infants in the household. And then we have laundry detergent and bleach, cleaning supplies, paper towels, and garbage bags. And those are, you know, clients are very grateful for those. They're expensive.
Mm-hmm. You bet they are. Yeah. Another item that Debbie is going to leave the radio station with today that I brought in.
That's right.
It's not a laughing matter. Leftover Halloween candy. The number of trick-or-treaters this past Halloween. We only got about half the number. We only got around 300, and I bought enough candy for 600 plus. Uh-huh. And now that the candy has been around, we've got an unopened huge bag and from Costco and about a third of another. And it's been going down because I've been eating it. Mm-hmm. And I have, if it's there, I'll consume it. So the food bank is saving me. So if anybody has any leftover Halloween candy, Debbie?
Yes, please bring it to the food bank. I always share with people that we celebrate the holidays after the holiday. Mm-hmm. So we'll get the Halloween candy after Halloween, and it's great.
It's nice to have a bowl of it out there. And this is these are all pre-packed little thingies of different kinds of candy. So if you do have some Halloween candy, do you have any leftover, Jack?
I think there is some squirreled away in our house.
Oh, squirrel.
To use a word.
Yeah, thanks, Chad.
I'm going to see if I can squeeze that into conversation a few more times. I think there is some, but I actually don't know where it is. My one of my housemates has
a secret stash.
I think Annie has some Halloween candy somewhere. It's some behind one of the other items in the pantry that I never move. I keep seeing wrappers, but I never see the candy.
Wonderful. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the more popular items. Peanut butter is always a good thing for the community food bank, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, the Pondere Rotary will be delivering a big delivery of peanut butter. They received a grant for $400. So they said, what do you need? We need peanut butter.
And how about, you said you mentioned that you got over 600 food bags ready to go?
Yes.
Do you need volunteers to distribute them? How are you doing in that area?
We would love volunteers to help. Next week, Monday through Friday.
Okay, let me think. Next week is the 14th through the 18th, the week before Thanksgiving.
Yes, and during normal operating hours, so from 9 to 2:30.
So if one is out there and saying, oh, I've got some free time, you know, Thanksgiving week, I'm going to be slammed, but I've got some time next week. How do they arrange becoming a volunteer and helping delivering the baskets?
They could give us a call at 208-263-3663.
Perfect.
Yeah, they can just stop in. You know, we'll
hi, give you a job. Hi, I'm so and so, and I'd like to. And what's the region? You know, I mean, is it mainly in town or in the outlying area?
It's all of Bonner County. So Priest River is also holding, giving bags out next week as well.
Okay.
But yes, all four corners of the county, the outer areas, just into town. So
how have the food donations been thus far? Would you say, you know, in terms of not just for Thanksgiving, but let's say for September, October, how have the donations been?
They've picked up. They've been great. So it's been nice. We've had the shelves full just beyond holiday. So clients are able to come shop for their everyday needs. Mm-hmm. So it's been fantastic. We have right now currently 16 food drives happening within the community for businesses that are doing that for us. So
perfect.
It's a busy time.
Yeah. 16 ongoing right now.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, for the month of November.
Cool.
So it is cool.
Yeah. Very interesting. Is there any kind of competitive nature to that, do you think? Do any of them kind of...
There are some of our faith-based organizations are having I call it a holy war.
That's okay.
Yeah. It's all fun, but
that's a good one. I was thinking that I'm sure the food bank must be feeling the pinch. You know, I mean, I think every family is with rising food costs. You go into the grocery store, and you know, the price is going up, but yet still people are hungry. How is the food bank handling the price of food?
That's a good question, because we are paying normal prices right now, so inflated costs with the freight charges to have it shipped. So we're really staying local and buying. We have to buy in smaller increments, but also we've noticed through food drives that are happening that the normal household, obviously due to the economy too, their budgets are tightening up a little bit, so the food we're bringing in is less. So we've had a 60% increase in clients this year.
Wow, and probably I was going to say a 60% increase in prices too. Not that much, but...
But it feels like it. So the household budgets just aren't going as far. So we're seeing numbers that we saw at the height of the pandemic back in 2020. Wow. So yeah, wow. So it's been busy. We're hanging tight.
Well, one of the things I do want to say, I was with the Panada cleaning crew when we held a food drive over at Super One. This is a giving community. I mean, people are, you know, they walk over to your cart and we'll take a list of what do you need. And so it's not as if people do not want to help. You know, they have been just, I'm amazed at the kind of support that the food bank
You said 60%, like over last year?
Same time last year.
That's so shocking.
We're averaging about 2,800 families a month.
How many members in an average family? Four?
Yep.
Wow, that's...
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of it, I'm sure, is due to population growth, but most of that would just be
people that have already here. Yeah, and they're working. They've never used the food bank before. It's just those costs for fuel and...
Oh,
you know,
across the board, across the board. So. Should we take a break, a music break? We're here with Debbie Love from the Bonner Community Food Bank, and then we'll come back and make more food bank talk. I'd like to, take me through the doors, and for somebody who's never been there or who might consider becoming a client. So, but this song was released on this date, November 10th, 1967. Whoa, that's a chunk of years ago. See if you remember this song. Nights in White Satin by the Moody Blues, coming from their Days of Future Past album. That song was released on this date, November 10th, in 1967.
And that was the version without the spoken word at the end.
Yeah. This, I think, is the radio airplay version. It's shorter than the album version. The album version's about 7.5 minutes long.
Yeah. I'm glad you picked the shorter version.
Me too. You're not a Moody Blues fan?
No, that's my favorite of their songs, I think. I guess my dad had that album, that one only, Days of Future Past, and I grabbed it out of his record collection when I started getting into collecting records, and I think I played it once, maybe, couple of times, you know? Mm-hmm. And my favorite part is probably the Nights in White Satin song. It doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, it ends nicely. And then there's like a little poem at the end, but I can't say it was my cup of tea.
Okay. Well. I'm sure the Moody Blues will forgive you.
Thank you.
Years later.
Yes. Thank you, Moody Blues. I can respect the effort, and it's a cool idea to have an album about a whole day, you know, mm-hmm. morning, afternoon, evening and stuff like that. But yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea. Sorry.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's okay. But mm-hmm. Debbie Love, Love is our cup of tea, isn't she, Jack?
Aww. Yeah.
Cheers.
Here in the studio is Debbie Love. She is the executive director of the Bonner Community Food Bank. You are listening to The Morning Show, and we're coming up on Thanksgiving, which is, would you say it's the busiest time of year at the food bank?
I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So an important time of year to have you in to hopefully solicit for some donated turkeys, which you are short on this year.
Absolutely.
We kind of went through, we went through your list of needs beforehand. Is this list that you gave us, is this publicly available?
Absolutely.
We can find this somewhere?
Yes, you can find it on our website.
Okay, which is?
Foodbank83864.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good website.
Thank
nice,
you.
Yeah. Nice selection of a title or whatever you call
Thank
it.
You.
URL. When last you were here, I think construction was just beginning, or maybe just pouring the foundation was in place. Where are you at now with the big food bank expansion?
Oh, we are 2 weeks from being completed. So,
whoa!
Can you believe that? 1,500 square feet.
Okay, and what's going to go into that 1,500 square feet?
We are going to be able to actually have a place to work now instead of outside sorting food. It's cold in November and, you know, in the winter. And also we'll have some more room for food to store.
Okay, so it won't be the grocery store part of it.
Right. It'll be the warehouse.
The warehouse, the storage. You won't be moving offices over there or anything like that.
No.
Okay, and where is its location? Okay, I know where the food bank is. Where is it in relationship to the main structure right now from which you're working out of?
It's on the south side of the building there.
South
side of
the
building. UPS side.
Okay, 1,500 square feet. What's your square footage right now?
We are about 4,200.
Okay, this is significant.
It is, yes. It'll be a blessing to have.
Close to a third increase.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which we need with the supply challenges. We're buying more food in bulk and pallet size, so we need a place to put it. So that
could you talk a little bit about we talk about individual donations and things like that, but the food bank also buys in bulk. Are there organizations, businesses that cater to food banks?
There are. There are food brokers, and I found a few in 2020 that we work with, and their job is to go and find deals for us. And usually you can buy minimum of a pallet. So it's sometimes it's a better deal for us to get that. You know, last year we got gravy. we got three pallets of it for under $1 per, you know, per package. So that was a very good deal. And it's nice to have those folks out there doing that. And they work with all the food banks around the nation. So
That's sort of incredible. I don't know about you, Jack, but I think of a food broker. You know, hey, we've got a sale over here on cream corn. How many pallets would you like?
Exactly.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It was new to me, too.
I'm sure that you've learned quite a bit becoming executive director about trafficking in food.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, 2020, there was definitely a learning curve there, trying to get food to our rural county up here.
Mm-hmm.
When Second Harvest stopped their purchasing program, we really had to scramble to find food out and outside of the area to bring in. So,
yeah. Do you ever go? Do you ever leave the food bank and go? You know, find yourself in a warehouse full of gravy somewhere, saying, "I want these three pallets or something like that." Or are you just making phone calls and trying to get it delivered?
It's phone calls. Yeah. I wish I could do that.
Do they have food conferences? You know, like they have conferences for different, to get events, you know, mm-hmm. like a performing arts, you know, where people go and are there food conferences like the brokers get together and then you travel to it and say, oh, they can provide X or Y or Z?
I know Feeding America does hold an annual conference in that way. Yes. So I haven't attended yet, but one day.
So, yeah, I think the time has come. Report back.
I will.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, can you tell us, we were talking about construction, the land that the food bank is on, or what's kind of the history of that building, that structure? How did the food bank end up there?
Sure. Back in 2011, the board of directors at the time and Alice Wallace, the executive director, they were over on Fifth Avenue. So for many years up by Server Burger there.
Ah. Up there.
Where the auto parts store is, that was the old food bank.
Oh, go away.
Yeah, okay. So that had been there quite a
bit. Interesting.
And then prior to that, it was in the basement of the courthouse. And then they grew from there, went into a storage shed, and then went up on Fifth Avenue for many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in 2011, they found this property up off of Ebbett and Culver's. And mm-hmm. We moved there, and we've been there over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And growing.
And at the time, you know, they thought, oh, there's so much space. We'll never grow out of this. This will be perfect.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we need more space.
So how many years have you been with the food bank?
This will be my 8th Thanksgiving with the food bank.
And can you just take a retrospective and what are some of the surprises, the changes that you've witnessed in the last 8 years with the food bank and its clients?
We've grown. I feel too that knowing now we give turkeys the week before, so they're not frozen the day of Thanksgiving. Sorry, just add a little humor there. But I found that people, they're very grateful, and it's whenever they hear that there could possibly be a shortage or something, they always want to donate their turkey back. And to me, it's, we have enough for you. We want you to have it. Please take it. So we will have, like right now, I think we have over 800 families signed up. We'll probably have maybe 75% of them show up because they have found another solution or something to go. You know, they're at a friend's house, so they're not going to take what they don't need, which I think is very, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, lacking an elegant segue.
I have one about turkeys.
Oh yeah.
It makes me, if you're looking for a turkey movie.
Uh-huh.
A one called Pieces of April with Katie Holmes in it. It was a early, about 2003 film. She is estranged from her family living in New York City, and she invites them over for Thanksgiving dinner.
I remember when this came out.
Yeah,
I remember the title, and I don't think
she's never done a turkey before, but she mm-hmm. wants everything to right. And her oven doesn't work, so she schedules like from an immigrant family their oven from 9 to 10:30 in the morning, and then another. She goes around the different, and it's about community and coming together. And it's a delightful movie. And there's a sequence in there about her preparing the turkey. You know, she looks at it like this is from another planet, mm-hmm. this turkey, like it's an alien. And yeah, it's a really a moving,
I love that.
I think a Thanksgiving movie about inner city New York. And have you seen it, or does it come back to you?
I know I've never seen it, but I do remember. I remember the title, and I think I vaguely remember seeing the story.
I haven't seen it. I highly recommend it.
That feeling I'm feeling from you, that uh-huh. sense you have at the food bank. There's lots of turkey talk on how to prepare.
Yeah.
And just the community uh-huh. coming together with clients and volunteers and donors. It's just a uh-huh. wonderful time to be there.
Yeah, you know, until my shoulder gave out, I was delivering food at the food bank. You know, it's a, you've created or helped to sustain an atmosphere there of people coming together, making a difference in the community and helping one another, mm-hmm. you know, and that's, isn't that part of the holidays?
Absolutely.
And if you've never volunteered at the food bank, it's a wonderful, and you're flexible too. Like, we go away for 2 weeks or 2 months or whenever. Can we work around that? And
absolutely. We like to work with people's schedules. I mean, it's not easy work. It's hard work, but mm-hmm. there's also that sense of community. And I love that we're walking alongside our families and individuals wherever they are, and we meet them at whatever journey they're at. Mm-hmm. Life is hard. And so we have all walks of life coming through that door. You just never know what has happened. You know, it's not anyone's fault. It's just
and they give back too, because the number of people when we were at Super One who said, I one time had to use the services of the food bank, so I'm more than willing to, you know, I'm doing better now. I mean,
I have to share. We had a family come in and she wanted to be completely anonymous, and she gave us an envelope and she said, don't open it until I leave. Okay, so she walked out the door and we're opening it, and there was $1,000 in there in cash. And she had said that, you know, she brought it in because we had helped her a couple years ago through a trying time.
Wow.
And so I know. Yeah. Just stories like that keep you going.
Hey, speaking of community, you have an event coming up. Is that right?
Yes, we do.
There's a segue. I've got my groove back now. Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay. What's going on?
Good segue.
Yeah.
On Saturday, November 19th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a week from this Saturday.
Yes. At the Priest River Junior High School there, right off the highway.
Right. Okay.
Right in town.
I know where that is.
The Better Together Animal Alliance, Bonner County Partners in Care Free Clinic, and Panhandle Health and Bonner General Health. We're all getting together. This will be our fourth event where we've gone out into the outlying areas of the county and provide services for pets and people. So the animal shelter will be doing microchipping, vaccinations, checkups for your animals, or, you know, things like that. And then on the human side, we'll be giving food. We'll be giving also holiday food for Thanksgiving. And then also we will be doing the health side of it, we'll be doing blood pressure checks, A1C checks, sort of needs.
That's across the board.
It is. And we did one in town in Sandpoint last year. And I had a client just the other day say, thanks to you guys for doing that, I found out that I'm pre-diabetic. So she came in and she was looking for healthier options and was mm-hmm. able to get produce and protein and things like that to help her with her diet.
So this is Saturday, the 19th,
yes.
in the high school in Priest River.
From 10 to 1.
10 till 1.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been a fun partnership with them. Yeah. We receive funding from the Equinox Foundation to be able to provide these clinics.
Perfect.
Do you partner with any other local community organizations? I'm kind of thinking, you know, just on Tuesday, Phil was talking about kind of the housing situation in Bonner County. Do you find yourself often in conversation with other people addressing needs for the, you know, less well-off in our community?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have quite a few partnerships from the Senior Center, mm-hmm. the Envision Center, Helping Hands, anywhere that we can find referrals to give to our clients beyond food.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking with them. So, yeah.
Sorry, Jim, I think I cut you off there.
Were you No. I was just thinking, you know, when she was talking about the funding of the food bank, I tried to curry favor with the Powerball gods when it was up to close to $2 billion. Uh-huh. And the food bank was on my list of organizations that would benefit with my winning the $2 billion. But I suppose the person in California who eventually won it had a bigger list uh-huh. than I did.
It's finally over. Somebody won
single,
it.
And, well, no, I yeah. mean, they're going to start over again.
But well, right, I know.
But, a single mm-hmm. ticket. But for a while yeah. there, I dreamt big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
And the food bank was right on the list.
Yeah. I didn't know that they had finally found a winner.
Yeah.
I knew
it was getting up there.
My heart's broken. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, what more do the lottery gods want from me?
That's you know? Right.
Yeah. I mean, so I keep a billion for myself, but, you know, the other billion... You know, I guess I didn't give more of it away. So the next time it gets up that high, I'll think of more organizations where that money would go to. But anyway, that's what I was thinking of, you know, that when the woman coming in giving $1,000, that's wonderful.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, it just warms my heart. So that's what I was going to say, just sort of, I didn't.
Thank you.
I'm poor again.
Hey, well, at least you're playing, huh?
I usually don't, but when it gets up that high, my odds of winning are the same as the odds of the person who has the winning ticket.
Yeah.
And the only way that my odds aren't is if I don't buy a ticket. So
the only I think I gamble when or somebody in the family buys a bunch of lottery tickets for Christmas. You know that that tradition gives those out around the table, and I don't usually win that. That's about the extent of my gambling.
Well, I have to admit that I don't have a rich aunt or uncle, and when I buy a ticket like that and it's up in the billions, I get to dream for a little while, and dreaming's cheap, dreaming's easy, and so it didn't come around.
Yeah.
We have Debbie here.
That's right.
And anything in conclusion, Debbie, you'd like to say about the food bank? And do you want to go over once again everything we've been talking about and summarize as you head into Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Yeah, I really just want to say thank you to our community and to KRFY for keeping me on and keeping the hunger on people's radar.
It's absolutely.
Like you said, it's a year-round issue. And so I really appreciate the community stepping up and helping. It really means a lot to us and the community.
And you are an inspiration, a source of inspiration. The good that you do from your position, you're wonderful. And we so are fortunate in this community to have you there.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you and Jack.
We have a little hug fest, love fest.
Thank you guys. Yeah. No, it really means a lot. Thank you.
You betcha, man. Boy, do I have the right song to kill that mood. On this date, as we say goodbye to Debbie, as we send her out into the holidays with all of our Halloween candy. On this date in 1978, The Clash, this was their second album, but the first album released in the United States, Give 'Em Enough Rope. And here is just a song that'll get you out of your chair where you're sitting listening to us with your second cup of coffee and in your pajamas, and you're just going to be bouncing off the walls. Here's The Clash with a cut from Give 'Em Enough Rope from 1978, Tommy Gunn. Woo-hoo. The Clash with Tommy Gunn. That was a song that Joe Strummer wrote wondering about terrorists, when they have been successful and looking at the newspapers about the damage and what they've done, it's sort of like film stars reading reviews of their movies. And so he wrote the song Tommy Gunn. The energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, are our listeners peeling themselves off their walls?
So, Jim, you would have been actually alive and listening to music in 1978,
right,
when The Clash arrived on the scene. And this is, I know you're a fan of the Grateful Dead. Obviously, you host the folk show. A little more mellow music, I would say. What was your reaction when punk hit the, I guess it didn't directly hit the airwaves, but when it hit the record stores?
I have to admit, it wasn't speaking to me, but I love the energy. I love the freshness. I think of here in the United States, the Ramones. Over in England, you had the Sex Pistols, you had the Buzzcocks, you had just all sorts of different bands. And it had to deal with alienation, disenfranchisement, being marginalized, not only within the larger society, but within the music industry. And yes, I was still mellowing out to the Grateful Dead, and I'd have to admit, but you know, there's many little Jimmy Healy's running around in me, and there's the Grateful Dead one, and then there's the Clash one. And I tell you, the Clash still work their magic after, you know, they've disbanded, members have died, but their music still sustains.
I like the Clash a lot.
And what was your relationship with Clash?
Just the, you know, I mean, before I really started to like them, I knew that a lot of the bands that I was listening to contemporaneously did, you know, look back at them as, you know, kind of their forefathers and major influences. I think I do have a certain, you know, a certain respect for the, those Rolling Stones, the Rolling Stone lists of best albums.
And they put, London Calling.
London Calling, number 8 or something like that, of the greatest albums ever. And it is great. And it is their transition kind of out of punk and into kind of a new wave sort of sound. But those first two albums, just called The Clash and Give Them Enough Rope. And of those two, I love Give Them Enough Rope. The way it just kicks off, Safe European Home is, I think, the first track on Give Them Enough Rope. And it's just... I don't know. Just it kicks off.
Yeah. And they're unrelenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you want, ooh, how about a nice, slow, mellow song? No
None
way.
None of it. Yeah.
They clobber you over the head with the first cut on their early album and sustain you to the end so you're totally exhausted.
Yeah.
But wow, what a ride.
I've come, you know, as I get older, I've come to respect all the other music, the, you know, the prog rock and the disco that was going on at that time, but for sure I had a soft spot for punk and what they were trying to say, which is all this production, all this these orchestras in the hall. No, you don't need that.
Moody Blues, Nights in White Satin.
No, you need a drummer and a loud guitar.
And three chords.
Yep, three chords and the truth, right? That's the, something like that.
And
I don't know.
And the audience right there, 5 feet away from you.
Yeah.
No stadium rock and just bouncing off the walls.
Any time that music gets back to basics like that, I like it. Whenever the Rolling Stones...
Oh, geez.
Get out of there.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, you know, when they cut back to the core of what they're at. That's my you know, favorite kind of music. So, anyway, that's the story of punk as told by KRFY.
Yeah, but part of it for me is that when that arrived on the scene, I was already in my 30s, you know, and so I had sort of settled into a life pattern, an adjustment with my, the society in which I'm living and that sort of thing. But I loved what's coming up. I love the, that youth is saying, whoa, wait a second. But I want to talk about upcoming events.
Here
we go. Here's somebody who has sustained a reputation, Shakespeare.
Hey.
And Shakespeare is coming to the Panada Theater tonight at 7 o'clock, a POAC event, and it is Shakespeare in an hour and a half, put on by the Montana in the Parks, Shakespeare in the Parks group. They are going to do the entirety of the Shakespeare canon in an hour and a half, and it's really important to go and enjoy it.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be. Do you know anything about it? Have you heard from people who have seen it or anything?
No, this is a newbie for me, and I just think it's a great opportunity to head over to the Panada Theater and sit down and put on your track shoes and jog through Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
tonight.
I think it is going to be pretty cool, and sort of it looks like they've got a. An energy that includes there's room for improv and comedy, as well as, of course, the drama of Shakespeare.
The tragedies.
Yes. Coming up tonight before the Shakespeare at the Panada, you can go to the Block Party on Cedar Street. The Get Plowed Party is what it's called.
Sign me up.
Get, parenthetically, the Pine Street Woods plowed. That is. The Kinnexu Land Trust, the Pondere Peddlers, and the Sandpoint Nordic Club are hosting the annual fundraiser supporting the plowing and sanding of the Pine Street woods, which keeps it accessible all year long.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can rub shoulders or rub elbows. That's the term, right?
Yeah, rub elbows. Bump shoulders.
Yeah.
And so where on Cedar, what are they blocking off?
They have blocked off, let's see, does it say anywhere? Well, it's sponsored by Matchwood Brewing, Eichardt's, McDuff's, and the Idaho Poor Authority.
Those are all great institutions.
Just driving down Cedar Street, it looks like it's kind of blocked off right in front of Eichardt's and the Poor Authority.
So that between second and third.
Yeah. And so I imagine you can probably walk back and forth between those businesses as well without worrying about being run over. It's going to be out there in the street, and I guess dress warm, huh? It's show for food, drinks, music, and have a share in keeping the Pine Street Woods open this winter from 6 to 9 p.m.
And the Complete Works of Shakespeare at the Panda, that's at 7:30, and it's free.
Okay.
It's free. So 7:30, the Complete Works of William Shakespeare. And then on Saturday morning, we have Science on Saturdays, another free event. And this Saturday will be Jim Aikens, Water Educator. The last time they did it on soil, this is on. And, you know, this is for everyone, but primarily aimed towards high school and junior high school students, whether attending the public schools or homeschool or private. Come on down to the Panda Theater. And then that night, a Warren Miller film at 7 o'clock, Daymaker.
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 That's what it's called.
Yep, that's what
it's
called.
Do you go to those the ski movies?
I'm not a skier, but...
Me neither.
Boy, do I'm out in the lobby. I usually stay out there working concessions or the bar, and to hear the energy inside, the people applauding, and somebody has done something incredible.
People go nuts. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, there's just something about Warren Miller movies.
Mm-hmm. The ski swap is this weekend.
There you go.
Getting into the, the feeling of winter, the annual SARS, S-A-R-S, the Sam Schweitzer Alpine Racing School.
Okay.
Sandpoint ski swap. Oh, my goodness.
Get that tongue out there and whip it into shape.
Yes. You can, it's the drop off is tomorrow, the 11th. The ski swap is Saturday, November the 12th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. You can also look for skis, of course, and boots and that type of thing, but you can also outfit the entire family with things like jackets and pants, too, plus even socks. That's the SARS ski swap.
I imagine it's difficult to go skiing without socks on.
I would imagine
so,
too. I'm
just guessing. Yeah. Just guessing.
An important and oft-forgot part of the ski gear is the sock, I would think.
There you go.
Let's see. It's actually 9 o'clock. Jim Eakins, is that his name? The Science Eakins, on Saturday?
Yeah.
Eakins, yeah.
Science on Saturday on water.
Very cool.
Absolutely. Jack, it's been good being with you.
Likewise.
And you have a good, warm weekend, and we'll be back here next Thursday with the morning show. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you very much, Jim. Stay tuned for Bird Note, everybody, and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that right here on 88.5 KRFY Panhandle Community Radio.
This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.